one does not just enter into the kingdom of heaven. It has to be unlocked. And the scribes and Pharisees were sure that they had the key in what they called the knowledge of Torah. Jesus called this self-delusion. In the text before us, which is the first verse of the gospel lesson for this particular day, Matthew 23:13. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, because you lock up the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, you yourselves do not enter, and when others are entering, you stop them. Jesus called this hypocrisy. This is not necessarily malicious. It can be self-delusion, as in this case. Religion, in the hands of the scribes and Pharisees, became a force of obstruction. It kept these learned theologians themselves out of the kingdom and moved them to try to keep others from going through the door into the kingdom. And we have a right to wonder why. How can religion become a source of obstruction? To be a religious person, at least in our culture, is usually a compliment, because it is assumed that religion is always a good thing. Our text is a reminder that this is not necessarily true. So what Jesus was talking about was not the irrational and vengeful pronouncements of some Ayatollah. He's talking about Judaism, which was and is the noblest of all of men's religions. And it was for that very reason that it blocked the door to the kingdom of heaven. So God's gracious rule comes to us by revelation from above and not by achievement from below, no matter how noble it may be. The kingdom of God consists of the offer of God's grace, His undeserved favor to us. And so it explodes all the schemes and norms that men devise for themselves. This is illustrated, for example, in the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, where the last becomes first and the first last, contrary to every norm of justice that men might establish. It's quite likely that Jesus was using a rabbinic parable as a kind of base for this story and making the necessary correction. To open the door of the kingdom instead of blocking it. Here is the parable of the rabbi, David. A distinguished rabbi by the name of Rabbi Ben Bahija died at an early age, at the age of 28, as a matter of fact, when his son was born. His colleagues gathered to honor him, to pay him their last respects. And one of them, the most distinguished, was chosen to do the funeral oration. And he began by saying that the situation was like that of a king who hired a great number of laborers. And 2 hours after they had started to work, the king inspected the workers, and he found one of them that did exceptionally well, took him by the hand, and walked with him up and down through the vineyard all day long until evening. So when the workers came to get their wages, all of them received exactly the same amount as the rest. And they said, "The king has worked all day long, and this man only 2 hours, and yet you have paid him the 3 days' wage." And the king said, "I have done you no wrong. This man did more in 2 hours than the rest of you did all day long." And so said the distinguished rabbi, And he will accomplish more in his 28 years than many a graveyard scholar in 100 years. And that's why God took him by the hand and gathered him to himself. Now compare that with Jesus' parable. In the rabbinic parable, the rabbi is represented as having fully earned his word. He did as much as the rest. In the parable of Jesus, those who were hired last of all laid no claim on having done as much as anybody else. They received their denarius, the peace, entirely by grace. In this apparently trivial shift, you see the difference between two words, that of merit and the sphere of grace. What kept the scribes and Pharisees from entering God's kingdom, and what moved them to slam the door in the face of others who tried to get in, was their doctrine of justice, of merit. They used that passage which St. Paul has in Romans 4 about Abraham believing God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. But they interpreted it to mean that God, that Abraham's suffering, that his faith, deserved God's recognition. It was an act of merit. And so he became the father of God's people. It is that understanding of the Torah that locks the door of the kingdom. As St. Paul later discovered, because it was revealed to him that Abraham's faith merited nothing at all, that God reckoned it as righteousness on the basis of his grace. Now, this whole matter is instructive also in the sense that it shows us how easy one can strive from revelation to religion by using some of the same vocabulary. The scribes and Pharisees talked about the kingdom of heaven. They talked about the faith of Abraham, of the knowledge of God's word. And yet, as we put it, they jerked away the key of knowledge and barred the way for those who wanted to enter the kingdom of pure grace, such as the publicans and sinners, Mary Magdalene included, whom we honor today. The temptation to make this shift from revelation to religion besets every one of us, especially those who are so-called professional workers in the church. It gnaws at us, because it is a way of getting around the scandal of the cross. For example, it is a simple matter to move from the statement of the Lutheran Reformation that we are justified by grace through faith on account of Christ to the statement that we are justified by faith. Because that's what Judaism says, that we are justified by faith. But faith is a work that merits God's attention. And so we're back in religion, closing the door to the kingdom of God. Because that's precisely the key which fails to open the door. In fact, that's what makes religion effective.